Здравствуйте, дорогие друзья, мы начинаем.
Hello, dear friends. We're starting our Sunday webinar, and we'll start a little bit differently because, look, everyone's in our own studios, and Dr. Michael Lightman's in the studio, Boris, myself, and Alexander. We are the instructors of the International Academy of Kabbalah. Such are the times. We are in our own studios, but we're united by this Sunday webinar, and we're really hoping that this webinar will be on the topic of, don't be surprised, of the spiritual consequences of this coronavirus for everyone. Let's start with the first question. So what are these spiritual consequences for everyone from this coronavirus? Dr. Lightman. The coronavirus.
Не слышно вас. Или я только не слышу.
Это вы, I can't hear you.
You're the producer. You tell us. So what do you think? Is the coronavirus producing us? What is it doing with us?
I think this is a top-level producing screenwriting of sorts that even Hollywood wouldn't be able to figure it out.
But we caught it as soon as it appeared, and we told it that we recognize you, buddy.
So will there be any spiritual consequences? What do you think? Right now, humanity is suffering. They're afraid. They're not making any conclusions yet. They're still thinking how they'll exist, what will happen financially.
Well, everybody's a little bit lost right now. Where am I going to work? Who's going to pay for it? And so on. Where will the children go to school? How is this all going to happen? How long am I going to stay at home? And so on. And here there's a lot of questions that appear. What am I going to do with the wife, with the kids? I used to barely see them at all. Now I'm finally beginning to recognize them, and my wife also. It's all not so easy, to be honest. And this will bring about many divorces, you'll see. If we sit at home a couple of more months, maybe 3, 4, 5 months, we'll sit together. And if we don't seriously begin to work on educating the population, so to speak, we'll see these broken families and so on. Yeah.
Well, that's not a very good prognosis you're giving us.
Well, what can I do? What's there to do? This is natural. When people begin to exist and connect in one small space and begin to show one another their different facets of their ego to one another, of course it's all uncomfortable and uncomfortable to live with. But I think we're going to conduct all sorts of different seminars and studies, and we'll publish all sorts of materials we can on our sites. And hopefully we'll be able to overcome this hit.
Well, let's start with the question. What do you guys think? Okay. Roman is asking, reading of a medical book about cures does not help. How do these conversations about the integrality of nature help us?
The difference is this. When you are speaking about a pill, then this pill doesn't affect you. And when you're speaking about the virus, our virus, this coronavirus, then through this you excite, whether you want to or not, the upper forces that send us these viruses. You excite the topics of connection. You excite the desire of people to connect to one another, to rise above one's egoistic nature. And through this, you see that you are beginning to be healed. You don't need any medicine. Right now there's billions. There's so many billions of dollars being sent right now in the world just to find a medicine against the coronavirus. And we can say that we practically have it here on this wavelength. You can, of course, laugh and not believe, but it's so. If we are going to connect, and it is possible through our talks like this, through certain games or trainings, in that case, no virus is going to be able to build up between us and then we're going to fight more, we're going to distance further away from one another, then it's going to grow in even more between us. So what's the cause? So the cause is not to allow to let people to become closer to one another, to connect. For example, we have a law, you cannot come closer than 2 meters to one another. Look how good it is. At least there's not going to be any touching of one another, but at least we can curse. And if we're going to continue to curse at one another, then a different virus is going to come out, the one that's going to be effective at a point where we're not going to even be able to yell at one another. So this virus acts in a manner where it's going to allow us to connect better. So it's going to allow us to connect better and closer. So we need to bless it. And that's what I already spoke about. And I hope that we're going to be able to really value this.
Question. You said that after some time, everyone will feel based on divorce rates as the result of quarantine.
If we're not going to work with one another.
Yeah, there's a statistic that after family vacations, divorce rate jumps. So Elena is asking, how while being in quarantine, not to kill one another?
On the contrary, we're going to educate people in the manner where this physical closeness between one another is going to bring to a spiritual, closeness on the level of the soul, when people will begin to feel between one another an appearance of a different force that's going to be called the Creator. It is said in the Torah, in the Bible, that a husband and a wife, and the Creator is between them. And in the same manner, we can discover the Creator, even between a husband and a wife. So, everything really is between us.
In relation to the Creator, a question from Sergei Vinokurov. Can we say that the Creator started to judge the humanity? The trial has begun?
Well, I hope. I'm not speaking for the Creator. I'm not going to speak for everyone here. But I would like to think that this is really so, that this is the judgment of the Creator upon us has already begun. So what does it mean, this judgment began, this court? So that we'd be able to understand very clearly that this is good and this is bad. And this would, of course, point us directly towards the goal of creation, not in a soft, unclear path, but in a very precise manner. You understand where a step to the left and the right will lead you.
There's a good example that Arkady Duchin brought up on television today. If we separate from one another by 6 feet, he was talking about artists and musicians, that if we would come close to the distance of 6 feet to one another, whereas before we were separated much further than that, then we would create wonderful music and artistry. So how does this virus give us such an impulse, the creativity that people feel?
The virus is revealing to us how we treat one another. If you don't like one another, you don't get closer, because you're going to feel bad. This is a manifestation of our ego in a more sharp manner. This is what the virus is. A virus is from the word avira, and where the good connection between people is ruined. This is what exists, and I hope that people will begin to understand how to reconstruct this connection, and this virus is going to become something positive. There's nothing bad in the world. Everything depends on how we apply everything. Everything has its pros and cons. Otherwise, they're all equal in their capability of application. So I think that when we will correct to a point where this virus will turn into something positive, into a positive quality between us, then we will see that with its help, we're going to connect to such an extent. We're going to be able to have a sensation of the upper world, of the next state between us. One where we're going to be able to exist beyond the constraints of our physical body, which is what the virus is hinting to us.
I'd like to ask people to ask questions live, even though we're all sitting in our own studios, we are still all together. Please ask questions in the chats and we will call upon you. So you mentioned that these conversations that we have about integrality of nature, upon that is the upper light, the upper light influences that. So there's a question from somebody: while under the influence of the upper light, I'm becoming stronger, younger, and healthier?
First of all, you'll become wiser. You hear me? First, you'll become wiser. And other than being wiser, judging by all of this, you'll choose yourself how you want to be. I don't see questions. Please send them here.
A translated question from YouTube, from California. Rav, is it okay to write affirmations for yourself that life does not stop because of this virus?
No, life of course doesn't stop. The virus can't stop life. The virus simply wants to give a new direction, a new vector for our lives. This is what the virus is doing.
Questions just came in. Maybe you'll understand what it means. Yelena from Facebook is asking you, she's talking to us, specifically about you. How and why did you gather to correct yourselves? You guys.
Us? I mean, a lot of people. I'm not speaking to myself or about myself, but speaking about a lot of people who are here in the Baruch. Our organization is what it does is it is showing to humanity the degree to which their egoism is destroying everything around a person, and to the extent that we're able to connect the ego, we'll be able to ascend above ourselves, and we're going to be able to perceive the next world, the upper world, a world that's more permanent and more complete. And it's a special world, a world where we can exist only if we go from egoistic relationships to altruistic relationships. And this is what nature is pushing us towards. And the wisdom of Kabbalah teaches you how to do this even before we're pushed towards this with different viruses. We can make this transition simple and enjoyable. So that's why we should realize this and get to the next degree of human development, and we have to get to it regardless. But right now we're moving to it in a negative manner, and we should do it in a positive manner.
There are questions that came in from Novosibirsk, friends from Yoshkar Ala. Question from Novosibirsk.
Такой вопрос. Как правильно справляться с нарастающим беспокойством от ожидаемых последствий этого вируса?
How can I overcome all these concerns that arise with this virus, to be without a job, without earnings? How can I apply all of this to spiritual closeness?
Rav, I don't think that you'll have any issues, because it's not only your problem, it's a problem of millions or even billions of people in the world. And that's why there is no reason to be concerned. All kinds of measures will be undertaken so that such a huge amount of people would not suffer. It's not possible for billions to suffer from this. It's not like a wartime or some sort of worldwide hunger. This is a normal, not a very large problem that humanity is facing. How many people does this virus take? It's still a pretty small number. We will be able to resolve it, but we need to relate to such states as states that point to our distancing from one another. If we would become closer to one another, then we will turn this virus into good. It will do what it needs to do. Instead of destroying connections between us that existed, it will actually make them more productive, more soft, more correct, and humane. Yep, I'll see a question from Novosibirsk. No, they just asked. Okay.
That was Novosibirsk who just asked.
I wasn't able. I'm still trying to adjust to conduct the sessions from my office. Krasnoyarsk, go ahead.
Hello, Rav. Can you hear me?
I hear you too well. Calmer, please.
Hello, Rav.
I have
a question, but I don't know if I need to or want to ask this question. But I came here from a different city so that I could connect with you. I borrowed something and I came back to return what I borrowed. But I don't know how to do this.
I don't know what you're talking about, which is why I can't recommend anything. Maybe you should ask your friends who know what you're talking about. I don't know. In any case, relax, calm down, explain to your friends what the problem is, and they'll recommend for you what to do.
Нью-Йорк, 10-4. Здравствуйте, Рав. Обычно, чтобы успокоить...
Hello, Rav. Usually, to calm the masses, they're given shows and food. Food is going to be given by the government. What sort of entertainment can be given to the world by Bnei Baruch?
If you're talking about Bnei Baruch, then you're trying to establish a 24-hour translation to all kinds of languages. There are all kinds of people the broadcasts and resources and human resources that we have prepared for this, and we'll be able to do this. We are advancing every day, and we're creating more and more clips and all kinds of programs, songs, lessons, everything that's possible that we can pass over to a person for them to understand what his life is about, what should he do after death, what can he do with the spiritual point inside of his heart, which is called the soul, which is eternal and doesn't die with his body. All of this we need to explain to people. We need to help them find contact between his personal I, when he points at himself. What is this inside of me? What is this I? And his soul. So that he wouldn't split himself into two parts, body and soul, but would join those two into one I. This is what we would like for every person to have an opportunity to see. Let's see what happens. I hope that we'll be able to do this. We will at least try. Please go ahead.
We'll continue questions. We have a lot of...
It'll be better if you talk a little more.
Specifically, when you said about how to connect souls and bodies, this is what Barsalam is writing about. The whole world is created only for the improvement of man. By this world, I mean also this coronavirus is also being meant, and it's being created in the image of the Creator. And since it is necessary to make efforts in the Torah, as it is said that let us make a man together with the act of creation, since his creation is completed only with the efforts and with the help of all creatures. However, everything is already in perfection except for men. So what sort of efforts should we apply is the question. What's the connection between these efforts and what's affecting us right now, what we're feeling? What sort of efforts should we be applying right now, and what?
The efforts that we need to apply is in finding the correct connection between us. And this connection needs to be heartfelt, above our egoistic hearts. It needs to be such that with our common longing for one another, would unite inside of the Creator, so that He would be our dwelling place, our temple, so that we would unite together in this common desire, common intention. And for this, we are given this life and this opportunity. And the virus and these kinds of things, they push us, they nudge us towards this, but in such a way so that we wouldn't be left without our freedom of will, and so that we would find correct connections between us.
Алмата, no, Азербайджан, want to ask something?
Okay, let's ask Алмата.
Yeah, question is there a proportional dependency between our spiritual advancement and the revelation of the point of the heart and other nations in the world?
I wouldn't say that there's a division or separation between the nations of the world, that at some point one nation discovers the point in the heart, then another one, another one. I see this looking at our own group. We have people, you can see people from Germany, Israel, Bulgaria, Vienna, Yoshkarola, St. Petersburg, Almaty, Holland, the Czech Republic, Moscow. We have lots of connections from Africa today. Of course, the North and South Americas, their time right now is a little bit different, and so on and so forth. I wouldn't say that, well, see, we have more people, Togo and Benin, that's Africa. I don't think that this depends on the skin color or nationality or which type of people you come from. It's not race-based. No, I don't see this. Even the people that study with us, that have already revealed the science of Kabbalah, and they come to us, they perceive it in the same way. So I can't say that first one type of nation will reveal the points in the heart and then a second one and then another one. No, I don't think so. I think that in wave-like matter, dependent on the people, it will reveal itself. The Creator's light shines and it illuminates certain areas. It's as if you take this one big organism, a system, just like the human body. It has all these cells, all these points that are connected with one another. All parts are interacting with one another, even though not all of them are close to one another, and it's as if there is no connection between them, but there is constant feedback, constant interconnection between them through other parts of the body. This is an integral blueprint. Everything is dependent on everything else, and that is why I'm not on the side of these conspiracy theories that stipulate that this nation will discover the Creator faster than this other nation, especially in our times. At some point in time, we were in ancient Babylon that contained within it all nations of the world. Each nation, let's say, was represented by 10 people or so.
I just wanted to say that maybe the question has to do the fact that there's a lot of friends that we have that study in Kazakhstan, and there's a lot of friends who are signing up for our university from Almaty and their Sultan. Maybe the question is about that.
That's relevant. So then, in ancient Babylon, from all the various Babylonians, the small group was gathered that started aspiring to the Creator, and until this day it exists, even though a lot have fallen away. But a few hundred people that remain as part of this group, these are those people that feel a longing towards revealing the Creator. And the rest, they just fell away. They became regular people. But today, the process is reversing itself. And it was written of this in Torah, that a time of Mashiach will come in the last generation when all of the Babylonians will become awakened towards the Creator. And this is what we're observing now. When back then, this movement towards the Creator has started up from Babylonians in ancient Babylon, it's the same way today. Everybody will aspire towards the Creator. It doesn't matter who and how. In no way should we think that at this very moment it will happen in Finland, and then it will happen in Poland, and then it will happen in the Czech Republic or Germany or Azerbaijan, and so on and so forth. Whoever will awaken, then that will be so. But it's good that so many people are signing up to our classes. Central Asia is blossoming. People are beginning to feel that the method of Kabbalah is talking about their spiritual development, and I'm very happy to hear this. And I wish that this Kabbalah, the study of Kabbalah, will bring them good blossoming of their countries. Question. Valer from Stockholm is asking, isn't foolish and limited that humanity's inadequate reactions to a very obvious problem? Obvious is that the virus is simply a new illness, but it does not threaten extinction of humanity. Why is there such huge raucous around this whole thing?
I would say that this is good. It shows to humanity that it's still small and it's still in its diapers. It's not very smart. It shows the people how much they're under the influence of all these panics. Even if we wouldn't do anything at all or protect ourselves in any manner, how many people would this virus kill? Can you imagine? I don't know, of course. But in essence, we need to understand that this, the calculation that's being made here, and it's not with the people who are sick or people who are passing away, but it's there to show people how much their people need to change their behavior. Move away from me for a few meters. Don't show me, don't give me your hand. Don't come close to me. We're not going to hug or kiss. We're not going to get close to one another. This is prohibited for us. The virus is showing us, really, how much of a distance we have to have, how much internal distance we have between one another. This is the distance that's safe. And at this distance, you can't really harm one another. And here we begin to think, what do we do? And here the wisdom of Kabbalah is revealed and it explains to us.
There are a lot of questions on this. We have different types of meetings with people. What is the reason and what does nature want from us when it presses us in this way? I wanted to read an excerpt from Bala Salam from the article of there's this development is aimed precisely. Second, just finding an excerpt. Thus, we have thoroughly shown the conducts of his guidance in our world, which is only a purposeful guidance. The attribute of goodness is not at all apparent before creation, arrives at its waste completion, its final ripeness. On the contrary, it rather always wears a cloak of corruption in the eyes of the beholders. Thus, you see that the Creator bestows upon his creatures only goodness, but that goodness comes by way of purposeful guidance. So, how do we feel this goodness from the Creator? How can we pass the understanding of that this is goodness to the people, that they're developing, they're advancing, that they should separate from the old and come closer to the new? Where is the switch? How can it be revealed?
You have no other opportunity other than to systematically explain to people this general composition of the world, its movement, its purposes. In what manner do people advance towards this? And how can they, amongst one another, communicate according to the laws of nature? And how do they communicate with one another according to their egoistic laws? And we need to explain and repeat these things many times until people begin to become more adapted to this. And there's nothing else to do. This is our work, and this is our nature.
Questions from our friends in Azerbaijan. He's been waiting
It feels to me like he's always on the screen and always waiting. Ari, what's your question?
Hello, dear Rav, dear Simeon, Boris, Alexander, and with the world, Kli. Here's my question. In the Torah, there's a commandment to cherish your souls. And the Creator says that everything is in the hands of the Creator. So, at the time of the cholera in Vilnius, and there was this Rav Israel Salanter, I think. He gathered his 70 students and they began to help the sick. And when he saw that their relatives are concerned for them, he told them, don't be concerned, because they're fulfilling the most important commandment of the Creator, and as a result of that, they will not suffer the consequences. So here's my question. How much can a person risk their health in order to fulfill the will of the Creator? Thank you very much.
No, I wouldn't recommend this. I'm, of course, not at the level of Salanter. He was a great spiritual leader, and he could afford to speak in such a manner. And in those days, there really was no other way. Of course, he had a lot of reasons to why he did things in a certain manner. I certainly can't speak for or against this. I'm nothing compared to him. But the thing is, if we want to help other people, we can do this, but only in accordance with the boundaries and guidelines that are set before us by doctors. You can, of course, help anybody you want in the world, but if it's prohibited, for example, like it is in Israel, if it's prohibited from going outside, then you shouldn't go outside. You shouldn't knock on other people's doors if you cannot open. If you cannot open the doors to other people, you need to do all these things only in accordance to the laws that are adapted in your country, so that people would understand. And if you want to help people, of course, it's all very good. Next.
Ростов.
Ростов, да, Ростов есть давно.
Здравствуйте, Раф.
Вопрос. Hello, Raf. We have a question from Tanya. You're saying that right now the qualitative unity must, connections must rule over quantitative connection. What are the properties of this qualitative connection?
Qualitative unity is when we take a look at this helping one another, this connection on a level of feelings, sensations, when we understand that our goal is one whole and the connection between us is the means of reaching our goal, and if we build the state between us where it's like a net where we discover the Creator, all of this should be our work. Create such a system of connection, of relationships between us, where to the degree of similarity, the Creator would reveal Himself.
Bulgaria.
Bulgaria?
Bulgaria.
Hello. From Bulgaria? Do you hear us? Today we have a record number of connections in Facebook, more than 170 people, and we have lots of questions from there. One of the questions is, aside from the fear that has taken over the world after the virus, what are we expecting? What should we expect? Is it something bad? How should humanity react if they're waiting something bad after the virus?
Nothing bad is going to happen after the virus. I'm hoping that the virus is going to cure us. It will really be a medicine of a sort and not a sickness. As Rabash writes, that I'm sending to you what you feel is a sickness, but in reality it's a cure. The virus is going to cure us from our egoism. It's going to bring us up a little higher. It's going to cleanse us. It'll give us the opportunity to look at each other in a more corrected manner so that we wouldn't be so egoistic, so that we wouldn't be so angry towards one another. And that is why life after the virus is going to be easier and better. You'll see. And I think you and I will see this soon. But not in the next few months. This is going to be happening for a number of months. It's not going to go away after a month or two. Next.
As a confirmation of what you just said, I wanted to read a quote from Rabash. All of the illnesses that are brought upon Egypt are corrections. If I'm not, we should interpret that, since I'm the healer, why should I place on you an illness if I must heal the illness? What do I gain by placing an illness? It must be as a punishment. And if I must heal the illness, then what kind of punishment is it? It is as though I work for nothing. Then for this reason, I will not place an illness upon you. And what you think is illness, you're wrong about it. Rather, all the states you feel, if you attribute them to me, are all corrections by which you will approach me in adhesion. So we need to feel an inspiration from all of this, if we will go through it correctly. A question from Alina about this inspiration. Alina is asking, how can you dare to call the virus or something good and welcome it, while in Italy, in one day, over 700 people have died? Aren't Kabbalists also merciful and loving?
What's going to change if I'm going to start crying? Can you tell me, my dear? I saw on the path, on my path, in different relationships and all of these contradictory things. I've seen many things. And for my whole life, I had to always fight with hatred, with lack of understanding. Let's pretend if some sort of a wave comes along and it decreases the quantity of human life. Of course, we cannot be happy of this. But also, in this, we must also look for a rational seed. Because nature is a closed system that doesn't do anything without a reason. That people who are not advanced think that things happen with no reason. But everything happens because the system decides for something to happen, because it rebuilds itself, regenerates, and moves itself. And if the system needs to reduce its population by a few million people, then it does. The system will do this because in this is its correction. And if I am a part of those few million people, then what can I do? Of course, I'll be part of it. There's nothing I can do to fight it. So don't treat this as though you're a small child who doesn't understand what's happening. Look at it from a perspective of global nature. If global nature will needs to cleanse itself in such a manner, then it will do this, whether it's on an inanimate level, on vegetative, animal, or even human. And I hear these questions all the time. I am not pushing them away. I'm just trying to explain them how to correctly relate to this. The easiest thing to do is, of course, to close one's eyes and to cry like a little child, because you are unable to see, all you see is evil. But to open your eyes and to look at it in a correct manner as an adult, that's difficult. More questions? Look, there's a question from Milan. Before this was a question from also Italy, and right now the question is from Milan. If the if 3 to 5% of people are dying from this virus, should we simply allow these people to die, or should we not put the whole world into quarantine?
I wouldn't tie one to another. Since we already started talking about how I view the world, then I view the world in a completely different way. There is an illness, a disease, that brings in this virus, which is a disruption of the correct functioning of the human body, and under those conditions, a person dies. That's on one hand. On the other hand, there's a fear that this illness accompanies, evokes within a person. And with that, because of this fear, people hide in their homes, distance each other, and it evokes these kinds of actions. But from the point of view of the upper governance, these two things are not correlated. On one hand, a virus is sent, and on the other hand, this an accompanying fear occurs. And that's it. Would it be enough to just have fear without the virus? Okay, but there needs to be some sort of a foundation for this fear. And then, on the other hand, why should we send a virus without the accompanying fear? What is the reason for that? Which is why there's this correlation that occurs, even though they're completely different systems in nature. The one that evokes fear, panic, and problems, and the one that evokes a disease. Why is fear and panic good? Because they stop humanity from it completely unnecessary, ugly, economic, political, material development, from its developments in these forms. And here people can sort of shake themselves off from these things and think, what am I doing? Why do I need all of this? Unwittingly, we perform or we produce 50 to 70% of unneeded merchandise and products. So we'll stop doing that. Unwittingly, our children study, go to different places. What do? So now they'll stay home with their parents, and we'll take a look at our families. Today there are lots of families that are at home. When was the last time an entire family were at home together? A wife, a husband, their children. When was the last time they sat together within these four walls? So now they'll gradually begin to initially they sit in their separate rooms as they're used to be on their own, and then gradually they'll begin to sit closer to one another, begin to conversate, maybe even play something together, because now there's time, there's an opportunity. Do you know how much this changes everything? Our world is changing. This is why I'm saying that the virus is good. It will shake up humanity. If we would continue during this time of the virus, burn our skies, then a lot more people would die. You're telling me that the virus has taken thousands of people, But do you know that from this pollution that we would cause otherwise during this time, a lot more people would die? So let's look at these things in a more general, more global way. And you'll see that we can do a completely different calculation here. If we look ahead, that through the help of this virus, we will discontinue all kinds of extra production, extra travel, extra connections. Maybe we'll make out of this old planet a blossoming, a beautiful, a very kind mother. So what's bad about this? Why are you so narrow-minded? Accept this entire system in a much more open way. Open-minded way. Please understand that there is a force that is coming and is sobering you up. It's shaking you up and it's telling you, think about what you're doing. This is what this wise virus is doing for us. In nature, nothing happens without a reason. And nothing is done in spite. Everything is done only in order to bring our humanity to correct connections, to good connections, interdependence, so that we would recognize our egoism as something that's evil and would be able to turn it into good. And this will be done. I guarantee this. Nature is much stronger than we are. Do you see how it can simply force us to just back off? The way I see humanity reacting to the virus today, I begin to believe that truly humanity has a chance. It has a good future. Nature will be able to deal with us in the correct way.
Есть у нас вопрос еще. Мак, виртуальная группа. Ребята.
Мак. We have another question from the virtual group, from Mark VG. Go ahead.
Добрый день, Раф.
Добрый день.
У нас два вопроса.
We have two questions. First question. What is the...
Призывать к объединению...
What is the point of calling people to unite without mentioning the Creator, if this is the only force that can connect people?
What is the point of talking about the Creator if no one believes in Him, understand, or know Him?
And another question from women. Where can women apply their efforts who recently graduated from MAC?
Only into dissemination. Only into dissemination. And the first question, I need to clarify a bit further. How did you formulate it again?
How can we disseminate to people if we don't mention the Creator?
What do you mean by Creator? Our entire nature is integral, interconnected, that is the Creator. And that's what Kabbalah says. Elohim has the gematria of Teva, nature. If you're talking about nature, where all kinds of integral physical mathematical laws exist, either you're speaking about that or you're talking about the Creator, the upper force, it means the same. Creator is not some sort of a godly creature that is sitting there in the clouds and is governing the world. Creator is nature, endless, perfect, all-inclusive, all-inclusive within it, all the worlds and the degrees upon which a person ascends these worlds. So we don't need to imagine to ourselves some kinds of these Kabbalistic expressions in our earthly way, the way we imagine them allegorically. Creator and nature are one and the same. And Kabbalah is not explained in any other way aside from this. And where else did you see the Creator described in any other way? Who is this little God that sits in the sky? Learn Kabbalah and you'll see how to relate to these forces.
Maybe you have time for Volga virtual group.
Добрый вечер, Раф. А какие сейчас самые
правильные действия для каждого? What are the most accurate actions right now to do for each person individually?
Only to explain to everyone else that we need to connect, unite with one another, and that's how we will overcome all kinds of problems that will constantly arise for every person and for all of us. The nature is beginning to push us in a very stern, precise way towards connection, towards the goal of creation. All right. So what else do we have?
We have a lot of questions here. Why is it that when people died from the Spanish flu, didn't bring humanity to a positive connection?
The time wasn't right, and the time is right now.
Tov.
No, I don't want to let her ask. This is our student from Africa. She knows everything. We have New York 10 number 4.
Rav, you said in the lesson that the virus is for a long while, but you always you always said that it's important to have physical centers, but wouldn't you say that right now it's necessary to re-examine whether a physical center should exist, but also to use the finances?
I actually spoke about this today with Mushi Sanilevich, the head of dissemination, and this is not a simple issue, but please explain to me. Let's say the virus will be over. You will want to meet with one another once a week or maybe even every day to study, just like we'll be doing this here. We will be gathering, at least Petah Tikva, friends from Petah Tikva will gather in the center. Do you know how much the center has cost us? About 40 million shekels. It's about 10, but 7 million, 6, 7 million dollars. So, about 10 million euros. So, this is our building. We will use it, and still, it's a place is necessary to meet, to talk, and not just a virtual space. But the centers that exist outside that other groups have, if they're very expensive, then maybe it's worth thinking about how to not continue with those centers. But I think that after some time will pass, you should again create these centers. It will all depend on how we will expand. If you will expand and you'll have lots of internet connections, and then perhaps we will move completely to the virtual space where we'll coexist constantly. Please think and decide. I don't know. I can say for certain, I feel that for now at least, we can certainly say that for the next few months, we will not need physical centers. And we will exist in the virtual space between us, and how it will look after that, you'll need to decide.
Dear friends, we have a lot of questions still. We will ask them all. We'll ask them in future webinars. We, of course, also have morning lessons, so please continue to ask your questions there. For now, we're going to close our program. And what is your last word?
My last word, I was speaking for the last hour.
But we'd like for you to finish on some words.
Let's start creating between us a healthy virtual space which would connect us together into one common network where we will reveal the Creator.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. All the best. Bye.